Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanek.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show. It's your sports bros, Rob and Souk. It's 5:05 on your Swatch Watch. Beautiful Northwest day. This is COVID cast number 54 by my count.
Hey, look at us.
A COVID cast qualifies as any show we do with no major team sports playing in the United States. So 54 of these bad boys.
Yeah, ESPN is running a, or is this the NBA channel? I don't know. We're watching.
This is ESPN.
ESPN. Why are they showing Memphis and Golden State?
I'm not really sure. I was thinking that earlier.
I'm trying to think of a time when Memphis was relevant to what Golden State was doing. Like, it's not a conference finals game. It's not a finals game. Why are we watching?
Maybe it was a great game.
Just like random, right? Like Memphis? What?
I also just found out that the NASCAR race has been postponed.
Why?
Today.
What happened?
I don't know.
I'm assuming weather. They're replaying the race. Yeah, postponed due to weather. They're replaying the race from Sunday.
Oh.
You ever wonder, like,
did you report the in-race standings? What do you call it? Were you reporting on the results of it?
No, I was just saying, hey, there's live sports today starting in a couple of minutes.
Oh.
And I flipped over and
not.
It says postponed.
What do you call it? If you're reporting on what is happening in a live NASCAR race, what do you call that?
The leaderboard?
Yeah, leaderboard?
Yeah.
Like golf?
Yeah.
Okay. Pole position?
No.
That's a term.
That is a term, but then once the race starts.
Should have seen my pole position last night. Hey-o!
No! Did you have the old arcade game up? I loved pole position.
I remember that.
Yeah, you had the little shifter. Any sort of racing game that had a shifter involved was fantastic.
I'm looking at the Grizzlies. They were, they did get to the conference finals one year. This might have been the conference finals.
Memphis got there against Golden State?
Well, I don't know if it's, I'm going to look it up here. But they, when they had Gasol and they had Zebo, Conley.
Maybe. I just don't remember Memphis ever playing meaningful games against Golden State.
Rudy Gay.
A lot of times, like, when you're seeing these, like,
no,
classic.
That year they got to the finals, or the West Finals,
yeah. They
did not play the Warriors.
Okay, so, like, you're seeing these, like, these games that are running on ESPN or Major League Baseball or whatever, the network, and you're flipping through, and half the time I'm like, what the heck? Why?
They never tell you what they are.
I'm like, why am I watching this? Like, what? And then I after 8 seconds, I lose interest. I just happened to glance up and I was like, Golden State and Memphis.
So this is possibly the 2015 NBA playoffs where the Warriors beat Memphis 4-2 in the West semis. That's possibly what this is.
Okay.
So there you go.
Sure. Go Golden State.
I looked that up for you.
West semis.
Got you hooked up, bro. Mm. We had two announcements today. One, Fan Golf Classic will not happen in 2020. We regret to inform you.
No, it's officially been postponed, but we can't use the term canceled, even though that it's been canceled. We'll just say it's been postponed till next year.
Safety reasons.
Oh, people coming in saying this is the Warriors' 73rd win.
Yeah, see, told you.
Okay, well, there you go.
And the other thing.
By the way, is that something worth watching?
I don't know.
By the way, they didn't win the title that year either. That's like the... It's like watching the Mariners win their 116th game. Like, outside of my brother, who the hell's watching that?
Do you remember Bond's 73rd homer? which is a bigger deal.
I don't remember Bond's 73rd homer. In fact, we talked about this. I think that is one of the more historic moments. It might be the most overlooked historic moment in sports history.
Right.
I mean, that
73. He hit 73 home runs in a season.
Well, think about how big
the steroids helped.
So what? Think about how big McGuire and Sosa were when they were doing their chase.
Wait, don't answer that.
61 was such a revered record.
73.
And then McGuire got it, and then Bonds went and took a big old steaming dump all over it and said, "Watch this." And yet
you remember is him hitting 63. Well, and then, you know, arms up, throws the bat. Yeah. Like, you have that image in your head.
I remember that, but I think some of it might have to do with the fact that I feel like, and I remember this, I remember watching him, and I wasn't even outraged like a lot of people, but I still was rooting against him to hit more, right? As he kept hitting him, you didn't want him to do that.
I didn't. I wanted Bonds to hit 80. I do not have a problem with Barry Bonds. I never had a problem with Bonds.
Well, like I said, I didn't either. I'm just saying that I think that might be why some people don't. Like, I totally agree with you that that is.
He hit 73.
That's unbelievable.
73.
And we don't, like, I don't remember 73 at all.
No. If you want a record that's going to stand the test.
I mean, the 73rd one.
Yeah. If you want a record that's going to stand the test of time, that one.
Of course, I don't remember the Warriors' 73rd win either.
That's true.
Was that 63 when he put his hands up? Or was it a different number?
No.
Now I'm misremembering.
I thought it was 62. Right.
Well, I'm saying when Bonds, with the one where he, you know, put his hands up and it went into McCovey Cove, and was that 63, or was that a different number? Because now I'm misremembering.
I don't know.
I just know that 73 is gonna, like, no one's hitting 74 for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, probably ever.
Roids or not, Barry Bonds is a machine. He just was. He had some different. He had synthetic oil in his engine as opposed to the conventional. That's all.
Yeah, it could have been the day he hit his 71st home run to break McGuire's record.
I think people forget McGuire had 70.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's what I'm doing. Yeah, that was it. That it was 71 because in my head, McGuire's record was 62, and like that's where it stops.
No.
It's like, he hit 62
that
year.
So 71 is the one into McCovey Cove, like the one that hands up. And
it
all
also
that.
Could have been the all-time 755.
Could have been that.
Or 756.
Yeah, he's got a lot of those.
He had a lot of bombs, that guy.
Yes,
73 home runs in one season. All right, coming up this hour, we've got sports talk for you. Is COVID helping or hurting Major League Baseball to Portland? We promised we'd talk about that today.
Yeah, because the A's are in a bit of a, seemingly a bit of a financial pickle.
And coming up in the club tonight, 7 things that soon could disappear forever. What the hell is HBO Max and viral video, terrifying viral video of a bear?
The black bear roaming around, was at Oregon City, minding its own bear business?
That was Gresham.
Oh, was that Gresham?
It was not minding its own bear business.
Seemed to be minding its own bear
Although
business.
I never heard any finality to that. I don't know what happened to that bear.
I don't
bear.
Know either. Like, the bear just decided to leave or someone took it in?
But have you seen the video of the bear stalking the boy on the hill?
No.
Look that up.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
There's your homework.
Interesting.
Go look at that, because that ain't a black bear.
I have hot raccoon news, too.
Oh, I'm excited for that. And cannibal rats.
Yeah, that one, murder hornets are so last month. We've moved on.
So that'll all be in our show from 6 to 7 tonight, but right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by frost-brewed Coors Light.
Kapuya! Kapuya!
What a body.
Number five.
We have our first quarantine injury. Newly signed Saints defensive end Noah Spence has torn his ACL during private workouts. He is done for whatever season that they play.
Yeah. I mean, guys get hurt all the time in OTAs and training, and you know, it's bound to happen. Someone at home doing something. And, you know, that's one of those that I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, see what happens when they come back. Again, this is going to be, we'll overreact to every injury, right? When people start coming back and it's training, the first guy to seriously get hurt, we're all just going to yell and point and scream and realize just, guys get hurt. It's sports. Guys get hurt training all the time.
Spence was a second-round pick of the Tampa Bay Bucks in 2016, but he hasn't really stuck since a promising rookie season. So the Saints just signed him, and he is now out for any season that they play.
By the way, I'm watching that bear video.
Yeah.
Holy crap stick.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that.
Number four.
The XFL just cannot be killed. Reports dozens of bidders have stepped forward to buy the league and fire it up in 2021.
Well, Vince McMahon is not going to be that. I don't know if you saw this, but the rumor was is that Vince declared bankruptcy and then was just going to buy back the XFL for pennies on the dollar at bankruptcy, at the bankruptcy sale, and then not pay off any of his debts. But I guess the bankruptcy judge was not having anything to do with that and demanded that Vince McMahon make a decision, because McMahon said that he hadn't made up his mind, but he basically made Vince McMahon sign a thing saying that he will not buy back the XFL. So Vince is out of it, but you know, it got some traction at the start. So in the fact that it's pretty cheap right now, you're going to get it pennies on the dollar. Someone's going to make a run at this and try to bring it back.
Yeah, they're saying 20 different bidders are up for it. The debtor is modeled for a made-for-TV 12-week tournament style to its business. They think it's particularly suited for no fans because, well, no one cares about it anyway.
There you go.
And the sale process, though, should last several months.
Number three.
Have you seen any of the Oliver Luck lawsuit against Vince McMahon?
I've seen a little bit.
We needed to check that out a little bit, because the reason why they fired Andrew, not Oliver Luck, for cause, so they didn't have to pay him like the $20 million.
Well, Vince McMahon's an ass.
It's fantastic. We need to dedicate a segment one of these days to that lawsuit.
It's in the notes. This one slipped by the major sports headline sites, but the U.S. government has pronounced athletes essential workers. Acting Secretary of Homeland Security Chad Wolf signed the exemption. It means foreign athletes can return to the U.S. for competition. Wolf's quote is, "Professional sporting events provide much-needed economic benefits, but equally important, they provide community pride and national unity. Americans need their sports, and it's time to reopen the economy, and it's time we get our professional athletes back to work."
Oh, yes. Nothing says essential like dribbling a basketball. But this is like if hockey wants to come back, or like with the UFC fights. One of the reasons why some of the UFC fights haven't been able to take place is because, again, the international athletes can't come in, and this would allow that. And they did say now that all of the international athletes, like in the NHL and NBA, they've already reached out to those people, and they're making arrangements to get them back.
Meanwhile, according to one anonymous GM, the NBA is targeting a restart date of July 22nd in Orlando, and the Blazers would be a part of the plans. Whether that be a play-in tournament.
What, 20 teams?
20 to 24.
Yeah, being...
they'll meet with GMs.
Initially being brought in.
Yeah, Silver meets with GMs and the Board of Governors Thursday and Friday. NFL coaches will vote Thursday on the alternative to the onside kick. That would be an untimed down. It's a 4th and 15 from your own 25. If you get a first down, you get to keep the ball. Coaches would only be allowed to use it twice in a game, and it would not be allowed in overtime. Last season, only 8 of 56 onside kicks were recovered, so coaches will vote on Thursday.
Yeah, and the Sky Judge thing has been shot down, so...
Yeah, they said no to that, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I guess they were saying that the reasoning behind it, from what my understanding is just kind of too many cooks in the kitchen, that the pass interference replay was such a debacle, they just didn't want to make this more complex. And Peter King said that even though they're technically not supposed to, the replay official already in some ways kind of acts like a sky judge unofficially.
Because he can talk to him down
there?
Yeah,
so they said...
But they got to go all the way to the...
No, I guess they're kind of already there where they can communicate back and forth, even though technically they're not supposed to. So
right.
Just sounds like the NFL isn't interested in making something more convoluted, even though I think, to me, this made a lot of sense, but it's not going to happen.
Right. And number one is today the Pac-12 announced that it will allow on-campus voluntary in-person workouts for all sports to resume June 15th. They are the third Power 5 league to have taken this step, the other two being the SEC and the Big 12. The Big 10 and the ACC are actually leaving those decisions up to their individual institutions. But anyone returning to Pac-12 facilities will need to be fever and symptom-free. They will need to take a pre-participation screening, and the schools will be required to have PCR and antibody testing available.
Have you seen that Arkansas isn't going to test anyone that isn't symptomatic?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that. Arkansas has got their own protocol.
Yeah.
They are going to give temperature tests.
Yeah.
Like you have to take your temp, yo.
But when you come back, like, no, everyone's coming from
but they will not do.
No, they're not going to get tested, and you won't be tested unless you show signs of it. So right. Already we're getting into the wonderful world of colleges going against basically every common sense protocol that everyone in the professional field is saying you should do in order to bring back sports. This college thing is going to be such a boondoggle from school to school.
The Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Coors Light. Go to @CoorsLight on Twitter and tell them who could use a six pack, and Coors Light will buy them one. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. What is all of this doing to help or hurt Major League Baseball to Portland? A couple of thoughts on that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 5:22. How's Mike Leach doing in Starkville?
That I don't know.
I can tell you. It's not great.
Well, my.
He had that run-in with the whole news thing, and then he had to undergo like sensitivity training, which I'm sure went wonderful.
Well, you can stop right there. When you say he had that run-in with the whole noose thing.
Yeah.
That right there.
Yeah, it didn't go so well.
In and of itself is a bit of a red flag, but sure. We'll check in on Leach. And we're also going to check in on Georgia. You know, Georgia, it's time to go back to Georgia, see what's going on in Georgia. Remember, they were the first to aggressively reopen like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, they also had the governor that didn't know that you could spread it without being symptomatic.
So we have some numbers, how it's going down there four weeks later. Which we'll get to next. But first, we wanted to talk about this today because it was brought up yesterday that the A's, shockingly, are hemorrhaging money.
Yeah, so the A's are the first, and as far as I know, the only Major League Baseball team that I've seen that has defaulted on a payment to their stadium. They weren't able to make last month's or didn't make last month's. It was like $1 million and something payment on the Coliseum. And then they announced that they were going to stop paying their minor league players, which is, again, peanuts, but they're not gonna pay them.
Yeah, so I think that and that prompted a couple people to text in and say, hey, well, what do you think that does for MLB to Portland? Could that help the A's get here? You know, what's going on with this whole thing? So we thought we didn't have time yesterday. We thought we'd carve out a segment today to talk about it. And the short of it would be, and this is just my opinion, the short of it would be that COVID and what's going on right now helps the idea of Major League Baseball expanding sooner
because it simply is a cash influx. If you're thinking expansion fees of somewhere in the neighborhood of between $800 and $1 billion, you know, expanding by two all of a sudden puts in, you know, $2 billion or around about there, maybe a couple hundred million shy, and that gets distributed amongst all major league franchises. So when you're talking about a league that is what they're staring at the face of, they're saying, I think minimum $6 billion in losses off of what they would have normally made, you know, there's going to be a push to try to find a way to make that up somehow. And yeah, expansion would certainly be a way.
But I also think that it's got to hurt with the city because they're just so far down their radar right now.
Yeah.
They're scrambling. City governments and, you know, local governments are scrambling everywhere.
Well,
I just don't know how.
And I don't know what that does as far as, like you said, are you getting in front of governor, you know, get in front of the governor, you get in front of the mayor. What does that do to, you know, can you pitch that as job creation? Or is that one of those things that you sink and you say, boy, if we're going into a depression, is that a good time to try to start something? Who knows?
I do know that at least a few people are touting the idea that baseball could be seen now as sort of a catalyst to return an economic resurgence to the city.
Yeah.
You know, so you could use the same logic you just used for Major League Baseball wanting to expand quicker now to the city and say, well, look, you know, when we come out of this thing, whenever that is, you're looking around going, okay, we need, you know, we got to get back to where we were. We need revenue. What are we going to do? Let's think outside the box. Oh, wait a minute. There's that Major League Baseball idea that we weren't as high on earlier that maybe now we'll give more credence to. Who knows?
Well, and I'm asking the question too. And I again, I'm just spitballing here. I haven't heard from Chris.
Because think about the jobs.
Yeah.
Jobs and the development.
But I'm asking a question here. And again, just spitballing. And I don't know what the answer to this is, or even if you'd get a truthful one, but what does this do to the financial backers? We still don't fully understand where all the money's coming from, right? We've been told that there's plenty of big money there and that's not an issue. There are a lot of big companies, man, that are down 30, 40%.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that, a lot of rich guys that lost a lot of net worth. And, you know, that you are talking about an investment here between expansion fees, building the stadium, and man, this is privately funded. You're talking about a $2+ billion investment. Who the hell knows where the Portland Diamond Project is right now about dumping $2 billion into something right now? This is really, really shaky financial times for just about everyone, not name, you know, Walmart or Costco. So
yeah,
and that's another question that, you know,
definitely a question.
You know, where are we at with that?
Yeah, and that's not something that they would ever
say. No, they would ever
say,
talk about.
Because I did talk to somebody at MLB to Portland, but it's, you know, of course, that's not going to be...
No.
Told to me, but
no one's gonna be like, hey, a bunch of our financial backers took a 30%
so
cut.
I think from the Major League Baseball perspective, Portland has always looked pretty interesting, and I think it looks even more interesting now. From the city perspective, you could go either way. It could look more interesting, or it's just so far down, they weren't making great headway anyway. It's just so far down the ladder that it's just a non-starter. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to have to wait to see how we come out of this. I would say this, though. I think the catch-22 is that if, you know, they have sites that are outside of Portland. They don't have to work with the city of Portland.
No.
But then when you start talking about those sites, you lose what interests Major League Baseball. And Major League Baseball is said to be enamored with the idea of what the Timbers did, right? You know, with the park right there in the city. And the rabid fan base, they want to recreate. So they think Portland would work only in that style of new ballpark and
downtown
location. And when you get outside of Portland, you may lose that. So what does that do to Major League Baseball's interest? Who knows? Money talks, you know?
Well,
and so this could really be a catalyst for the, even if Major League Baseball says, we still want to rectify the A's and Rays situation before we do anything with expansion. This could shake loose some resolutions with Oakland and Tampa faster than before because, again, money is being hemorrhaged.
Exactly. If the A's just look at this and say, hey, we've already been struggling, maybe now, because we do know the Portland Diamond Project said they'd be open to buying a team. So assuming A's or Rays. I know the Diamondbacks were kicked around a little bit there, but they said they'd have to control, what, 51%, and they would have to have the agreement to move it here to Portland. And if Oakland can't get the rest together, and again, you're hemorrhaging money and aren't willing or can't make stadium payments or pay your minor league, maybe that's a thing where Major League Baseball gets involved and tries to force a sale. I mean, there's so many moving parts to this. The other thing I'll say about, you know, sites outside of Portland, we know that one of the reasons why they have to have the development around the stadium, one is it to get the city on board, right? I mean, it's not just billed as, hey, we have a stadium here, look at what we're going to do. A lot of that, though, has to do with recouping your cost. If you're privately financing this and you're kicking in $2 billion, there's got to be more revenue streams than just the ballpark. And so you better believe that the who's ever, you know, putting the money behind this, those luxury apartments and retail space and all that, that's all revenue stream that's going to defer the cost of the $2 billion to bring it here. And I wonder, again, you won't get an answer from them on this, but I wonder in this time if there is a bit of a financial crunch going on, or obviously dollars are a little more maybe scarce to come by. Does building a site out in Hillsborough or Gresham and the development around the ballpark, does that bring the same sort of revenue that building one in Portland would as far as demand for retail space and housing and around that goes? And does that have an impact on whether or not this is a project that you want to go full bore into right now? I mean, there's just so many questions right now because it's such uncertain times, especially financially, even for big companies.
You know, the other thing that's more on the table now than ever before because of the pandemic is realignment. That is something that has been talked about, but you get a lot of pushback from purists.
Yeah.
Now, I think they see an open door to realign. And if they realign, that then opens the door closer to expansion.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Portland comes in, is expansion.
Yeah.
Because they are ahead of any other city in terms of being ready if Major League Baseball wants to expand. Doesn't mean they would be one of the cities, yep, but they're ahead of Nashville. They're ahead of Vegas. They're ahead of all these others.
Well, we know
so the sooner they expand, the better position Portland is in because they are ahead of the game.
And remember that Portland, you know, they want one on the east. They want one on the west. And the only other city in the west that seemingly makes sense is Vegas. And Vegas has thrown their hat into the ring, and that's a little scary because Vegas gets stuff done, right? Vegas has gone from no sports team to the NHL to the NFL and now sniffing around Major League Baseball. But outside of Vegas, I don't think there's really another West. Well, I mean, Vegas isn't West Coast, but, you know, Pacific time zone option. So it's you're sitting pretty there in that you only have one competitor. If you go out and you look out east, I think that's a bit more of a dogfight because there's more cities there that would fit the bill.
All right, let's check in on Georgia next. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's check in on COVID. The pandemic. It's still going on. Almost June.
Are you sure about that?
I
feel like people have canceled it. Much like summer, I feel like a lot of people right now are canceling COVID.
Yeah. They're just kind of out of sight, out of mind. Like, starting forget
with
it.
The,
you
starting
know
with the president.
At my house, it's over.
I feel like the president has officially just decided that it's over. Despite, you know, any sort of science or anything, he's like, you know what? We're done. We're moving on. I don't know if you saw any of the videos from Memorial Day weekend, but I think a lot of people are done.
Well, as of yesterday, 17 states had cases trending upward, including California, Alabama, Arkansas, and Georgia.
Yeah. Well, Georgia had to shut down some churches. They were like the very first to open, and then they had to shut down just a little bit later. A bunch of churches did because they had a huge outbreak. And then Alabama's football stadium is undergoing a construction like a refurb. And I think they had 10 workers come down, so that kind of put a halt to that as well.
13 states are seeing their numbers stay fairly steady, and 20 states are declining in COVID numbers. We are, I think we're one of the steady ones, but I actually did not check the map today. I know that we're one of the lowest. We're bottom four in terms of number of cases per 100,000 residents. But in Georgia, they're kind of stuck in the middle. So they were the first to aggressively reopen 4 weeks ago, right?
They're one of the last to close.
Yeah, absolutely. They didn't do much to fight this thing. But while cases aren't going down, they also, like I said, they are up, going up, but they're just kind of up a little. They're steady, and they're not overwhelming hospitals.
Yeah.
They're just kind of slow and steady in Georgia, which is odd. Considering they were the first one to kind of say nuts to this whole thing.
Like good news.
So well, it kind of is.
Well, and that was what the Florida, who is it, DeSantos? What's the Florida governor?
That's DeSantos.
Is it DeSantos? Is that his name?
DeSantos? Something like that.
Ron.
Yeah. He came out and you know, look, he's kind of a douche, but he came out and I get why he's pissed. He came out like a week ago and gave a big long rant and just said, now, he scoreboarded it, right? He said, everyone has been killing me saying that what I'm doing is wrong and that our state is an abomination and that we're going to be the cause of all this and we're going to be the next New York. And he's right in that it hasn't been. He's like, yeah, we have our cases just like everyone else. But he goes, we haven't been overwhelmed. So, I mean, there's a lot of places that are like that, that despite seemingly them not doing a whole lot, there really hasn't been that sort of what happened in Jersey and Michigan and in New York. It just hasn't hit some of those places down south.
Here's what they're saying about Georgia. A month since Georgia took some of the earliest and most extensive steps to reopen parts of its economy, COVID-19 cases have largely flattened in the state, albeit with a slight recent uptick. The bad news is we're not seeing a reduction in transmission, but I also don't see a spike in transmission, said the professor of mathematical epidemiology at Georgia State University's School of Public Health. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Data from the Department of Health in Georgia shows that the 7-day moving average of cases steadily declined from late April until mid-May.
Take that for data.
A reflection of the earlier stay-at-home order, the moving average of cases then flattened at just over 500 new cases per day, and the totals have risen slightly since May 12th.
Okay, so it sounds like
And I think they can live with that.
Yeah.
It's not overwhelming hospitals. That's kind of their whole thing.
We all knew that when they started opening this back up that, and everyone said it, you're going to see some increases. I just think the fear was, and rightfully so, that if you open this up and you don't do it in a responsible manner and you just go all willy-nilly, that we could be back at square one. And by the way, this is still, I guess we'll still have to wait and see, because you saw what happened over the weekend and just people not caring, and sports tournaments are coming back. I saw a bunch of youth tournaments are going to happen, and you're bringing in teams from all around different states in the country. I was talking to a gal at the office today and said that they're driving to Idaho for a big girls softball tournament just next week. So, I mean, as these things kind of get back to rolling, it'll be interesting to see in a couple weeks if what we're doing right now and seemingly we're just going to do whatever we want, if that comes back and bites us in the ass, or like down in Florida and Georgia, yeah, we see some increases in cases, but you know, it doesn't overwhelm the system. And you know, because if it doesn't, people aren't going to stop what they're doing simply because there's a slight increase, or you know, there's some numbers start to go up. People won't stop.
Well, we said we'd use Georgia as a case study, and we're far enough along to be able to do that. And the data suggests that reopening has not led to a spike. Rather, the virus just continues to steadily infect people.
Yeah.
And it's not going away, but it's also not like blowing up like in New York. So, yeah.
And that's what people are going to point to and say that originally it was not an idea of stopping the virus. We knew that wasn't an option. It was flattening the curve and not overwhelming the system. So, you know, as idiotic as the Georgia governor is, and as some of the actions that they're taking seemingly don't seem to be the smartest in the world, at the same time, dude, high five, and that this hasn't led to some sort of catastrophic thing, which is what I was terrified of, is that it was going to send us back to square one.
The other thing is that, I mean, how much longer have they been open than, say, Oregon? It's not going to be that much different. In other words, Oregon's already starting to reopen.
Sure.
So what'd they gain? A month?
Yeah.
5 weeks? Was that worth it? Or over those 5 weeks, would they have seen fewer deaths and fewer cases, and it would have been better overall? I get the balance of this thing. It's very difficult to balance, but, you know, to be honest with you, it's all starting to reopen now.
Sure.
I don't know if anybody's...
All 50 states have some form of opening.
Yeah, I just don't know if anybody's right or wrong. I don't think you can say that California, Oregon, and Washington have been wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think you can say that because, again, the numbers are down. They're doing a good job. That is a win. But also, I don't think you can say that Georgia was wrong because, again, look, it did not spike.
Yeah.
And everybody said it would.
Well,
so, in other words, you know, everybody's going about it a little bit differently. They're doing the best they can. But the finger pointing and like, this is right, this is wrong, that's none of that's true.
No, when you look at, you know, Germany had an approach to it. Japan had an approach to it. South Korea, Sweden. Sweden didn't do much of anything, right?
Sweden
took the approach of, we're going to be okay.
Herd immunity.
Yeah, herd immunity. And we're going to...
They want people getting it and they want to protect their olds.
Yeah,
and
we're going to isolate the vulnerable, but like we're not going to shut down. And Sweden's have been a little higher than some of their neighbors, but not as bad as some other countries. I think what we're finding out is there is a lot of different ways to handle this. And when it first happened, I think everyone was just taking their best crack at it. Right? Everyone was just kind of swinging from the hip and seeing what happens. And by the way, years from now, when papers are written and studies are done, I think we'll have a much better idea of exactly what this was. And it's hard when you're in the eye of it to, like you said, make any sort of determination about who was right and who was wrong.
Do you know what stadium is now the largest COVID testing site in the United States?
I do not.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Next. It is 5:44 on The Fan.
Tagovailoa.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, a new fan text code, if you ever want to text our show, you can now use 503-250-1080. That's about as easy as a quick save to the contacts. That replaces 55305, which still works for now, but that will go away on June 1. So again, the new fan text code is 503-250-1080.
If you're not paying any attention, by the way, head over to Twitter and check out what's going on in Minnesota right now. Because, yeah, the city's burning down. They are in, we got full riot.
Were they Minneapolis?
Yeah, Minneapolis.
George Floyd?
Yeah. Is that his name? George Floyd?
That was his name.
He was the guy that they fired.
Horrific.
Fired the four police officers. They were kneeling on his neck.
Horrific.
Yep. And they're in the third district, third precinct. I guess that's an area of town, and it's, they just full-on riot. They got police on top of roofs firing tear gas. People are they're setting fires, smashing windows. And the Target there, apparently it is a free-for-all at the Target.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Looting?
Oh, yeah. One guy, top looter that I've seen so far, he got four TVs.
You have looting rankings?
Yeah, I've got looting rankings. This one bro was smart enough. He got it, and I don't think this came from Target. He got a flatbed cart like that you see at like Costco, and he brought one of those with him, and he's got four large screen TVs and a Sonos sound system, which if I'm going with my looting power rankings, that's number one. The worst one is a dude stole a lamp.
Maybe he needed light,
but just a lamp. Like and by the way, there's no, like the police have given up in Target. It's just people just wandering in and out and just grabbing whatever they want.
Maybe he assessed his situation and went, I really only need a lamp.
Easy to carry?
Yeah, it looks like he's got
as a weapon.
Probably not going to prosecute you for just a lamp,
just
are
a
they?
Lamp?
You know?
One bro here got a new, he got a Bissell. So there's that.
The Bissell, like the
carpet cleaner?
Yeah, carpet cleaner. I can't tell which kind. And then another guy here looks like an Igloo cooler. And a Brita water filter. He's got
that. He just went shopping.
No shopping. I'm telling you, like all the windows have been smashed out, and people are like going in and out of the Target windows. There's no shopping.
I'm imagining one of the long skinny lamps. Is that the guy? It's just like a little like side table lamp.
Yeah, just a side table lamp.
Oh,
and then it looks like he's got maybe some clothing or something in his other arm.
He loves lamp.
Yeah, he's got like maybe a sweatshirt or something and a lamp. But yeah, and then out front, I'm not sure if this is like a Netflix kiosk or it's a soda machine. You know, they've got like those, you know, just out in front of the store.
Probably a Redbox, right?
Yeah, I can't tell what it is, but they're trying to get it right now. And they've got it tipped over on its side, but it looks like about five or six people. They're having a hard time getting it elevated and moved, but they're working on it right now. But it's really... it's bad. They're full on, like I said, just full on chaos and rioting happening right now. And I'm following Karen Scullin of Fox 9 out there in Minneapolis.
This is her moment.
Is she
on the scene?
She is on the scene and is taking...
Do you think she knows a radio show out in Portland, Oregon is talking about her?
Probably not. But her 4,691 followers, I'm guessing, are about to get bumped up. But it really is
good video in terms of just like,
yeah,
she's capturing the scene for sure.
Well, it was absolutely horrific and inexcusable what happened. And we saw the riots yesterday with, you know, they broke out the rubber bullets and the pepper spray, and appears that it's gotten even worse today.
Okay. So last little sports bit is that one Major League Baseball stadium is now the largest coronavirus testing site in California. Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
That's where they have them rolling into.
Okay.
You ever been to Dodger Stadium?
I have.
Up there on the top of that little hill there?
I'm going one of my five favorite baseball stadiums, Chavez Ravine.
They have the capacity to test 6,000 people, according to the mayor out there.
Now, are they testing 6,000 people or?
No.
Okay.
But they have the capacity to.
So is it like mass testing, or do you just roll into Dodger Stadium and say, I'd like a test?
Yeah, it looks like they've got it. It's not quite clear here, but they have a large video monitor, which explains the process. And that, so when you, right when you pull up, you stop and you look at the monitor, and then we'll tell you, here's what we want you to do. It's a drive-through testing site. So you can drive through and get tested in LA, which LA's had a little bit of an outbreak.
Yeah.
You know, so, it says roughly 60 staff will be on hand to help. They're now testing an average of 15,000 people a day in LA, and their testing capacity at Dodger Stadium is three times greater than any other site in LA County.
So no baseball, but you can get tested.
The ballpark is also open to injured Dodgers for treatment. So they threw that in there.
So you can get tested and get your shoulder worked on.
If you're a Dodgers player.
Wouldn't you say, though, one of the better stadiums, right? Chavez Ravine?
I love it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I think they do a good job with Dodger Stadium. Last time I was there, we've been there actually quite a bit.
Kind of sucks getting out. Traffic is a bit of a nightmare. But you take an Uber.
But the last time I was there, we go to Southern California a lot, and of course we go to Petco a lot. And I like Petco Park in San Diego. But Dodger Stadium has a much more vibrant sort of, just breezeway, interactive, like, walking experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Petco is kind of barren, or at least at this last time I was there, it was kind of barren. Whereas Dodger Stadium, it's just a throwback, man. You roll around and all kinds of cool shops and things to do. It's just neat. And, of course, the palm trees in the outfield, you can't.
One of the great backdrops. And I get that there's history behind it, but it's one of those stadiums that when you're there, to me, that feels big time. When you walk into Dodger Stadium or even walking up to it, because again, parking there is such a nightmare that you usually get out a couple blocks and you walk your way up, and it's just, that's to me is one of the cooler baseball experiences you can have. Is going to Dodger Stadium. A
couple of questions on the fan text line, which now can be reached at 503-250-1080. The question is, are the Riders practicing social distancing?
No.
No?
No.
Mm.
No.
Any masks? Got masks on?
Yes, lots of masks. Lots of masks. I don't know if it's like a COVID mask. I think it's more of a
hide your identity
sort of thing.
And somebody else says they're glad they put a Karen on the riot resulting from the murder of an unarmed black man. We got the Karen out there reporting. Isn't that her name, you said?
Yeah, it is. It's Karen Scullin.
There you go.
And for people asking, it is a mix of races that are there participating in the riots. I see there's plenty of white people. We see some African Americans. I've seen some Asians. I think it's an all hands on deck.
Any Egyptians?
Not that I've seen.
I tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian. I mean, we tried everything.
And the best part is there's some bros that are just like milling around, like just kind of adjacent to the looting, but you can tell that they don't really know whether or not they should loot. So they're just kind of.
They're supporting.
They're just hovering. there's this one guy and he's got his mask pulled down like around his chin. And he seems to just be walking in circles around all the active looting that's happening.
All right. Coming up next in the club, we talk about the viral bear video. We discuss cannibal rats, hot raccoon news, and, all kinds of stuff going on today.
I see my first female or first non-bro rider.
Karen?
Yeah, no, I'm looking here to see what she got. Right, we got two of them. Looks like this lady got a bunch of purses, and I can't tell what the other one's got. She's got some sort of large box, but yeah, this new video we've got, because it was all bros, nothing but guys, and now we've got two confirmed female looters as well. So not only is it across all racial backgrounds, we're now getting both sexes involved.
All right, the club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.